Let's get rocking!
It's time for the Metal Groove.
We're fighters for truth, justice, and the American way.
A podcast dedicated to music.
Party on, dude!
Extreme close up!
Here's your metal host.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Tombstone Josh.
I'm your Huckleberry.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into a brand new episode of the Metal Groove Podcast. That's right, this is Tombstone Josh checking in. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with me, tuning in, locked in, strapped and loaded. I'm sorry, doing this episode audio. Been crazy hectic weekend, spring break's just kicking off for my family, Easter just happened, so the Metal Groove Studios has been a madhouse. So hey, I apologize for the audio only, but we'll get back on track next week. Speaking of Easter, I hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. I hope you guys enjoyed Easter. And to me, just my opinion, but I think the people who decided to make up Easter, they were low-key. They just decided, hey, you remember that holiday we just had 6 months ago called Halloween that was so freaking awesome? Well, that's 6 months from now. We need something, man, because I miss it. I really miss Halloween. It was a really, really good time. What can we do to trick these people into letting us have another Halloween? And his buddy was like, hey, man, we can't be going all Halloween all the time, even though we really want to. So we need to church it up a little bit. Why don't we go the opposite way instead of, hey, evil, spooky Halloween. Let's go, hey, godly, happy, good times on this side. Then we can convince these people for another holiday filled with candy and stuff and celebration. That's just my two cents. That's what I think happened. I think they wanted another Halloween, but they just had to kind of put a shiny bow on top of it. Because it is a halfway point if you think about it. 6 months ago was October. 6 months from now is going to be October. So, I don't know. It just kind of fits. It just kind of fits. That's what I'm saying. Tell me your thoughts on that. Tell me how your guys' Easter was. It was pretty awesome, man. Nothing like good old Easter candy and Easter egg hunts and all the crazy festivities goes along with it, man. It just feels like Easter is a bunch of different holidays wrapped into one because you have the big meal, you have the candy thing going on, you have the dressing up. It's just a whole thing. But anyways, it was a good time, but it is past us and we are right here today ready to rock some faces, talk about some music with you guys, and I'm stoked about it. I have a couple new articles I want to share with you guys. One, it completely has to deal with that whole Motley Crue fiasco that is going on. That is a mess. I want to talk into that, share a couple articles I found about that. What a crazy situation that's going on right now. I'm going to give my thoughts on that. And then there's like two or three more articles I have to share. And then the topic for this week's show is most overrated bands of all time. I found a list compiled of some of the biggest bands that a lot of people consider to be overrated. I'm going to go through that list and give my thoughts whether I think they're overrated or not. And then I'm going to share a few bands that I think are just, I don't understand why they're big. I think they're overrated, even though I just think they stink. So that's the way the show's going to go this week. I'm going to play a song. I haven't done that in a while as well, so I'm looking forward to doing that. And I think it's going to be a really, really good time, man. So guys, strap it in. Let's kick this week right in the face metal style like we like to do, starting right now. All right, I feel like this would be a great place to start the music news for this week because a couple weeks ago, if you guys remember, I did a Discovering Ghost episode where I dived into the band and kind of looked at their history, checked out their catalog, listened to some songs, which I was pleasantly surprised by them, man. I dug their sound here and there to the fact where I've added some of their songs to my playlist. So when they occasionally come on, I enjoy it. So I'm kind of glad I did that. I can't wait to do that for other bands. If you guys have any suggestions, throw them in the comments below. But I felt like a good week to start this week's news would be with Ghost. They just released some new music, man. In an interview with NME, Forge revealed that Phantanimime was meant to be a full covers album that mirrored Imperia. The album was set to include covers of Motorhead, Misfits, and Rush songs, but was pared down after Forge decided that he wanted to do an outright rock EP instead. Whether or not those cover songs will eventually be tracked and released is a mystery. So if you can't tell by that, they did a really quick kind of short album of covers. And the first one that was dropped was a Genesis cover that I'm going to talk about here in a second. But he goes on to say during the interview is that during the demoing of Imperia, I kept working on demos for what I just referred to as the cover album. Originally, the idea was to have 10 songs on this covers record because I wanted to make a complete record and that LP was going to basically mirror Imperia somehow. Originally, the selection was a little bit more eclectic. Look, I'm not going into great detail about them because we might use some of them at a later point, but it was basically Motorhead, Misfits, Rush. I wanted to do a rock EP, a pure rock EP. As for the future of Ghost Sound, Forge said, Phantomime could cast a glimpse as to where I want the band to go for now, though don't expect the band to go full into any more of those sounds. That doesn't mean that all of a sudden we're going to sound like Television. It just means that there are practical things in there that inspired me to record this EP. The new album features a heavier rendition of songs from artists like Genesis, Tina Turner, and Television, though according to Ghost Mastermind Tobias Forge, Phantomime was really supposed to be a full album. So that's cool. I listened to the Genesis song. Not bad. It's cool. It's a updated kind of, like they said in the article, it's like a heavier version of the Genesis song, which is cool. So I really dig it. If you haven't checked it out, I'd say go check that out. It's cool, man. I have nothing wrong with that. I got nothing wrong with covers, man. I think when bands do covers and they put their own interpretation into different songs, I enjoy it, man. It's a good time, good time. Maybe one of these days we'll do a show talking about who covered a song and made it actually better. First one that comes to mind for me, of course, is going to be Knocking on Heaven's Door by Guns N' Roses. So that's one article I want to share with you guys. Moving on to the next one. It appears that Avenged Sevenfold is trying their own ticket-based system, which is cool. I wanted to look into this article because I want to see what it's going to be. I wonder if they're tired of the whole fees thing or if they're just trying to maybe get more money on their end. So let's check it out together, man. Avenged Sevenfold on Sunday introduced TicketPass, their own blockchain-based verification and reward system for anyone that chooses to participate. The band said alongside explainer videos hosted by Avenged Sevenfold lead vocalist M. Shadows. For now, it's an early beta launch. Avenged Sevenfold's TicketPass system is free, eco-friendly, and requires very few steps to make sure you can acquire the tickets you desire. Avenged Sevenfold will be breaking these passes into tiers over time and rewarding the people who have been participating in merchandise, listening habits, music consumption, live events, and other metrics. The TicketPass launch from the prominent rock and metal band whose new album and first shows in several years are imminent aligns with Shadow's interest in Web3 and NFTs. Many first heard about blockchain bartering thanks to the emergence of NFTs, which are essential digital certificates of authenticity to point to a file such as an image or a video and exists the record-keeping blockchain. NFTs were positioned as some of the latest online craze and a preview of the decentralized internet. How does Avenged Sevenfold's TicketPass work? For instance, if over the course of a year you've purchased a t-shirt, vinyl, or been to 4 shows the band laid out, we will be able to upgrade your TicketPass and allow you to purchase tickets sooner than others who have not. That's kind of cool. It's kind of like an early access thing. They continued, for people familiar with using MetaMask and Coinbase Wallet, we need you to help people that are new to this when you can. When we started this over a year ago, many of you needed help and others were happy to give it. They added, let's make this a good experience. If you are new to this and this needs some extra help at all, please join our Discord and ask for the TicketPass channel. When opening a wallet, please make sure you write down your password or phrase or whatever that is. Avenged Sevenfold's Life is But a Dream album arrives June 2nd. They released the single Nobody, which we already talked about on the show. So it sounds interesting. I don't know. It didn't say in the article whether it's going to benefit them or it's going to benefit fans that don't want to pay those extra fees. So maybe some more info will come about that eventually. So that's cool, man. Good for them. It's cool to see them doing something like that. It's kind of hip. It's kind of now. It's like the future. It's kind of cool, man. It's like you're building up rewards with whenever you purchase stuff. So I kind of like it, man. I dig it. Good on them. Good on them, man. All right, so let's go. Let's not bury the lead any longer. Let's talk about this whole Motley Crue, Mick Mars fiasco. Whew, man. So late last week, it was kind of like a weird late week. It almost felt like a news flush. Like, let's get this out there before the weekend. Let's see what happens. See if it goes anywhere. But apparently, Mick Mars is suing Motley Crue, and he has had a lot of bad things to say about that last tour they were on. Let's rewind a little bit and let's go into Hey, man, Mick Mars, the wear and tear on his body for touring is kind of taking a toll on him, so he's going to take a back seat. We're going to get John 5 in here, which poor John 5, he's got to be in the middle of this whole mess, man. Wouldn't wish anything bad to happen to him because he's actually a phenomenal, great musician, and I'm sure he was just looking forward to playing these Motley Crue songs. But anyways, Mick Mars, they made it seem like, hey, Mick Mars is retiring, man. Good for him. He's put out a legendary career. He's one of the most iconic 80s guitarists of all time. He's did his part. He's lived his life. Now he's going to take it easy for a while. Turns out, maybe he was being a little ornery because of the way the last tour went. He wasn't happy about it, and they might have pushed him out the door unwillingly. Maybe he wasn't ready to go. Maybe he would have kept going what he was doing. And there's been so much back and forth about it. So you hear from one side that Mick Mars wasn't playing the correct parts anymore. But you see people that have uploaded videos of what Mick Mars was playing. It seemed pretty legit. It sounded kind of normal to me. I don't know if that's just singled out certain parts that are supposed to sound good or would sound good no matter what happens just because it's Mick Mars. So you have that back and forth going on. You also have the things Mick Mars saying, which I'm going to go ahead and dive into right now. As reported by TMZ, Motley Crue's guitarist Mick Mars has filed a lawsuit against his fellow band members alleging that they are financially exploiting him. In October, Mars revealed that he would no longer tour with Motley Crue due to his continuous battles with his illness and arthritis, a form that triggers inflammation in the spines. Despite this, the 71-year-old claimed in his lawsuit that he had explicitly stated he was still able to record with the group or participate in limited shows, but could not endure a complete tour due to his health issues. In the legal case, Mick alleges Motley Crue reduced his share of earnings from 25% to mere 5%. Holy crap, that's terrible for him. After revealing his decision to withdraw from touring, additionally, he states that the group's attorneys made him feel as if he should participate in this minimal portion as they believed they had no obligation to provide him with anything. Mick also asserts that a complete band gathering took place where they chose to unilaterally exclude him from Motley Crue. Mick consistently alleged that bassist Nikki Sixx was gaslighting him by suggesting his guitar abilities were declining, which is what I was talking about earlier, even though Sixx didn't play a single note on bass throughout a recent tour and stated by the guitarist, Mick asserts that all of Nikki's segments were pre-recorded. So that's just a part of it, and it looks like it's going to get messier before it gets better anytime soon. So I've seen Mick has stated that a lot of Nikki's stuff was pre-recorded, like a ton, if not all, of Vince Neil's stuff was pre-recorded. Even some of Tommy's drum stuff was pre-recorded, which to me that seems a little hard to believe. I don't know why Tommy would need to pre-record anything. I don't know why Nikki would have to pre-record anything. We do know that that's a big trend going on right now to where a band plays along to pre-recorded tracks. I do understand, and I do know that Vince Neil needs the help. So that one makes sense right there. Man, it's just tough to see that this battle is going on between all of them. You'd hate to see it from Mick Mars. I've seen so many people come to his defense. A lot of people saying what a class act duty is. I mean, why would he lie about this? Is he going crazy? Is he senile? Is he making this stuff up because maybe he made the bad decision of not joining them on tour, that maybe he was okay to go along with it? I don't know, man. It's to be seen. I'm not exactly sure what side to take here. I'm such a huge Tommy Lee fan. I mean, if you guys haven't heard, I'm not as big a fan of Nikki Sixx. Personally, as a person, he just seems like a douche. But musically, man, genius, songwriting, everything like that. He's a legend in the game. So I don't know if I buy the whole Nikki and Tommy was faking it. Vince Neil, 100%. 100% buy that he was faking it. But yeah, and I enjoy and I love seeing what John 5 is doing with the band. I hope this doesn't hinder anything. I hope they're still able to tour. I feel really bad for Mick, though, man. I feel really, really bad for him. I actually found this article right here. KK Downing says he sympathizes with Mick Mars as well. Founding Judas Priest guitarist KK Downing left the band in 2011 and has some things had some things to say about the Mick Mars situation. In an audio message sent to Blabbermouth, Downing said he sympathizes with Mick Mars, who is currently suing his bandmates over financial disputes. Downing said he sympathizes with Mars as he's experienced exactly the same thing and that he was asked to write an EP for Judas Priest around 2010 when the band was headed out for a farewell tour. Upon refusing to do so, I certainly didn't want to finish my career with an EP, Downing announced his retirement from the band. I do sympathize with Mint because I'm going through the exact same thing, and it's pretty unsavory to say the least. After spending a lifetime building the band's name, reputation, popularity, and value, in particular brand name, it should be all right for people to retire, especially through illness. In my case, we were gearing up for 2010 to do a final world tour, which was meant to be the end of the band as a whole. And because I was having pressure put on me to write for an EP to support that tour, which I absolutely was not going to be any part of, I certainly didn't want to finish my career with an EP, so I threw in the towel and I sent a retirement letter in. Downing said one of the reasons he didn't go with the band on tour was that he believed Rob Halford was about to quit the band and do Halford full time. Downing's sympathy for Mars seems to be rooted in the fact that he feels he was screwed over by the band's legacy, as he never mentions, or was it published that he mentioned, pre-recorded live shows are being made out to be a poor guitarist. Downey also doesn't explicitly bring up financial situations or any accusations that he wasn't properly paid. Downing said he firmly believed that Judas Priest was calling it quits. So that sucks, man. It's almost, I don't know if Motley Crue ever did the whole, oh, we're calling it quits after this tour. I think maybe that Stadium Corner tour kind of rejuvenated them, actually, and it kind of made them want to go on more. But you got to kind of feel bad for Mick Mars and his illness, because it seems like he wants to be a part of it, and he still wants to be in the fold. Maybe he just can't do everything that everybody else can do, especially if they're going into these shows at 50%, man. So I feel bad for Mick Mars right there. I don't really know what side I want to take, man. I feel like I'm 50-50 on both sides. Tell me where you guys stand. Are you pro Motley Crue? Are you pro Mick Mars on this one? Are you like me, where you're just in the middle, like, holy crap, what are these guys going to do, man? Just got to feel bad for him. I don't know. I don't see how this one's going to end. It doesn't seem like it's going to end anytime soon or in any kind of positive way. It just sucks to see that happen, man, because Motley Crue was a big deal. A lot of things you've seen come out, too, is a lot of people were pro the John Corabi album, which is so weird and so random that people are talking about that album now because of what's going on here. And I hope John 5 doesn't get any backlash from this, man. So I don't know. That's a few news articles right there. Let me know what you guys think about the new Ghost stuff. Let me know what you guys think about the Mick Mars situation and the Avenged Sevenfold ticket situation going on. Some good stuff, man. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a break right now. We're going to play a song from a band called Haunt. Friend of the show, Trevor, was on back in July of last year, I believe, man. Super cool guy. And he's still kicking out incredible metal tunes often, man. So I love listening to him. I'm going to share one of those with you guys right now. And when we come back, we're going to talk most overrated bands of all time, man. So hang tight, crank it up. We'll be right back. that's some good stuff right there. Welcome back into the show. That riff is so, so good, man. I love it. That was a song called Burst Into Flame by the band Haunt. Once again, Trevor is he's a mastermind when it comes to putting out these banger metal songs. And he's so good. Once again, so thankful for him for joining me on the show. It was a great conversation. He's an awesome dude. He's an absolute sweetheart of a guy who just happens to put out badass rock and roll music, man. So that was Haunt. Check them out. The whole catalog is phenomenal. Talk about them. Good stuff, man. All right, so let's dive into the topic for this week's show. It's pretty simple, man. Most overrated bands of all time. I'm going to share a list here, give my thoughts versus what their thoughts are. But the first thing I wanted to do is how did I come up with the idea for this show? Well, first of all, I wanted to bring up some bands that I don't like. I think they suck. I don't understand why they're popular. So I was like, hey, I wonder what other bands people don't like that are popular. So I'm interested to dive into this list, check out some of the reasoning. But I'm going to give you guys four, they're metal bands, hard rock bands that I just cannot stand. I think all of their music kind of stink, and I don't get the appeal about them. And then one kind of a pop rock kind of weird kind of band that I don't understand why they're popular. So we're going to go ahead and kick the list off with that one. So Mumford & Sons, don't get it, man. I don't understand their sound. I don't get it. I don't see the appeal there. They're pretty much a country band. I don't know what else to call them besides that. Maybe that's what they are. I don't know, but I feel like a lot of people like them, and I don't understand it. I don't get it. That's pretty much it, man. So Mumford and Sons coming in there. Godsmack. Was never really a big fan of Godsmack. I appreciate their drummer. They do have some songs that are okay, but again, it just feels like one of those bands that blew up for no real good reason, I guess. They had that one song in the Rock movie, I guess that was their biggest hit. I don't know. Just Godsmack, not a big fan. I'm not. And if it's any appeal, maybe they used to be big, but they aren't now, because it looked like they had to cancel the tour because they weren't selling enough tickets. But anyways, Godsmack, not really big on them. Another one from that cloth, Disturbed. I feel like they're similar in that vein. They had a couple hits here and there, but I just don't. It's not for me. Like, there's not really any good substance or good power or good. There's just nothing good behind their music. To me, this is just my opinion, my most overrated bands of all time. The top two are the ones I despise the most. I feel like anytime their songs come on, I want to change it immediately. And these two bands have so many fans, and I just do not understand it. Theory of a Dead Man. Jeez, McCriminy, does that band stink. And I do not understand why so many people like them. I don't know, man. Their songs just, like, there's nothing to them. I just feel like it's cookie cutter, kind of plain basic, plain Jane, just nothing good. Turn the radio off when their music comes on. And then the last one on this list, if you know anything about me, you probably know where I'm going with this one. I already hate country music, but if there's going to be one rock band that I cannot stand, I do not understand their popularity, and we could just throw them out. We can just delete them from the foothills of rock and roll history, and that is Five Finger Death Punch. Oh my God, they stink. They feel like a off-brand version of just, I don't know, man. There's something about them. You know what I mean? It feels like they took all these, it's like they're a Play-Doh because they're soft. And, it just feels like somebody took Play-Doh of different kind of influences and mashed it together. You know how, like, whenever you mash a bunch of colors together, it turns brown and looks like crap? That's what I think of Five Finger Death Punch. So they can stink right off. I mean, because you have so many great rock bands in the world. And I just, this one. I don't understand why these guys are so popular. I mean, you got Slipknot nowadays. I mean, we went through the list the other day when we were talking about bands that are current that could go into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I would be so pissed if Five Finger Death Punch gets in just because of their lukewarm, radio-friendly. Five Finger Death Punch. They are on the top of my list of most overrated bands of all time. I do not understand why people like them. And just for honorable mention, the band Volbeat. I don't mind them that much because they have okay songs, but there's something about their singer's voice that just bugs me. So let's go ahead and put Volbeat at number 6, just for honorable mention. Okay, stumbled upon this list from a website called newarena.com. They rated the top 25 most overrated bands of all time. And they include a reason why they've landed that spot on the list with each band that they rank. The list starts out with bands that are just kind of poppy, kind of in that vibe, citing their lack of diversity and stuff like that. The list proceeds to go on and on with the bands getting bigger and bigger as we go. Here we go. Coming in at number 25 is the Imagine Dragons. I think the problem with Imagine Dragons is that all their songs sound the same. You know what? Not going to hate that, man. I feel like that sometimes with certain bands, but then I'm okay with it. It depends. If you're killing that sound, if you're like AC/DC and you're actually absolutely owning that sound and you can crush it, there's no problem with that, man. So, okay, so they don't sound identical, but there's a certain commonality among all of them that comes across as just lame. They always seem to be singing some overwrought lyrics with apocalyptic or sinister supernatural overtones. It all comes across as shtick that gets old really, really quickly. I can agree with that. I'm not a big fan of them. Number four, they got Maroon 5 with their douchey lead singer. We've all talked about one-hit wonders before. I like to think of Maroon 5 as a one-album wonder. Their debut album, Songs About Jane, was a terrific pop rock outing. However, everything they've done since has been subpar. The promise of Maroon 5's first album was giving away a bunch of boring songs, usually in Adam Levine's falsetto, that all sound the same. To be totally honest, I think the success of Maroon 5 rests largely on Levine's appeal as eye candy. Lame, I don't agree with that whatsoever. Ooh, this one stings a little bit, man. Creedence Clearwater Revival coming in at 23. There's some bands that you just kind of don't like, and there are some bands that you absolutely cannot stand. Creedence Clearwater Revival, you heard me earlier, man. I just cannot stand Five Finger Death Punch. God, don't get me started on that again. Let's start with the obvious, John Fogerty's horrific screech of a voice. For the life of me, I can't see how anyone thinks this guy has a great voice. Then there's their barely disguised anti-war politics that they seem to slip into every song. I get it, man. I can see why people wouldn't like them. That makes sense. Ooh, here's one. This is an interesting one because I think I kind of agree with them here. Number 22, the Rolling Stones. We love to joke about Keith Richards surviving the apocalypse and outliving every other peer he has, but are they getting more credit than they actually deserve? They didn't reinvent or redefine anything. You know what? That's freaking true. A lot of their songs are just pretty substandard. While the Rolling Stones did have their moment when they get into the top of their game, it's believed it's high time to give it a rest. These dudes are above 70 years old and still performing. Seriously, they should be at home watching TV or something. Okay, cool. I get it, man. Rolling Stones, I understand that one. I can see that. So far, I have no problems with this list, man. Creedence was a little bit of a... Man, they got some good tunes, but I get it, man. That guy's voice is kind of annoying, and they do talk about politics a lot. Ooh, 21. Look at this one. This might be my first one I disagree with, but coming in at number 21 is the Red Hot Chili Peppers. When you think of the greatest classic rock bands to ever walk the earth, Red Hot Chili Peppers wouldn't even cross your mind. For the record, they're not exactly horrible, but their songs are mediocre at best. They're fun to listen to, but that's all there is to it. Some grunge, some funk. They stuck to the same sound for years and eventually got boring. I'm going to disagree with that one. I think that the Red Hot Chili Peppers shows good diversity. So yeah, man, and especially all the different guitar changes that they had over the years. You know what? I think I like Red Hot Chili Peppers, man. I don't think they deserve this. Oh, coming in at number 20, man, we got the Dave Matthews Band. I have a lot of friends that are Dave Matthews Band fans. I don't get it. He does have some bangers for some songs, and I hear that he puts on a phenomenal live show. But I think I like what he does in Adam Sandler movies better than any of his music. So Dave Matthews Band garnered a strong cult following. Man, I know that. From a specific type of person. You know, the guy who loves wearing plaid button-down shirts and boat shoes year-round. Dave Matthews might be a gifted musician, but his music sounds highly unoriginal. It's the type of music that you wouldn't notice playing in the background. That feels pretty... Who wrote this article? Because I think I would be friends with this guy. Yeah, I get it, man. Dave Matthews Band. Definitely. I can see that as being overrated. Coming number 20. Number 19, Radiohead. Cool. I like this one. I'm not a big fan of them. Let's get one thing straight. I freaking love Radiohead. Okay, what a great way to start this paragraph. They're easily one of my top five favorite bands of all time. Not me, buddy. With that said, I feel like people on the internet are far too quick to praise anything they've done. They're a good band, but I think they're just a bit too much hype. Overhyped. I guess if you overhype and they don't always deliver, I guess that would count. Whoa! What this guy has at number 18, I am not happy with. Queen. He's got Queen coming in at 18. Let's see his reasoning behind it. It pains me to do this because I still love the band, but it needs to be said. Queen, from my opinion, is the most overrated band ever. Then why do you have them at number 18? I mean, why would you put them there if they're the most overrated band? Do you not understand how lists and countdowns work, dude? All right, anyways, he goes on to say, is Freddie Mercury the greatest frontman ever? Maybe. Is Bohemian Rhapsody one of the greatest songs ever? Maybe. Queen never released a full album that floored me compared to the likes of, please don't bring up the fucking Beatles or Pink Floyd. Pink Floyd's definitely going to my list of most overrated bands. I do not get the like for them either. Queen undoubtedly has great songs, but I feel like so many people consider them to be the greatest band ever. I don't. I get his reasoning there, but let's get Queen off this list, bro. Get the heck out of here with this. 17 AC/DC, this list is a farce. Talk about commercialized band leaning on merchandise sales and the strength of roughly three songs. Okay. 17 AC/DC, don't agree with it. This thing might whittle down pretty quick. Oh, here we go. Here's a crappy band. Number 16, Coldplay. Man, I hate Coldplay. Hey, me too, buddy. We're back being best friends. Me and you can be friends again. The more you listen to this one damn song, the more repulsive it gets. Which one did he say? He didn't say. Now, there's people who adore the band. I get that. They connect with the song and swirls of emotions teetered on the seemingly omnipresent voice of Chris Martin. He's an annoyingly likable dude who unfortunately strayed off the path of musical righteousness and instead became a figurehead of musical dullness. That's cool. I like it. Cool. Yeah, see? Coldplay. They make sense for this list. A lot of people like them. I don't get it. He don't get it. Makes sense. Number 15, Nirvana, get the hell out of here. Why are you playing with my emotions, dude? Why are you giving me a good one and then giving me a bad one immediately after? I wasn't a giant fan of Nirvana back in the day, but I have come to respect and appreciate what they brought to the music culture. Let's see what your opinion is. Nirvana has a premier band during... Oh, Nirvana was a premier band during the emerging grunge era in the Seattle. During the 1990s, frontman Kurt Cobain led the group. Nirvana is one of those bands that needs to stay in the 90s. The music didn't age well. You are full of shit. It is still good to this day. You are incorrect, sir. Primarily because you know exactly which decade it came from. This one doesn't make sense, guy. You lost me on this one. Don't agree with that one. Bon Iver, I have no idea who this is. Bon Iver is one of those bands that quickly garnered a groundswell of popularity from the off-the-beat crowd. It was a cool thing to like Bon Iver when they were relatively anonymous. They are still anonymous to me, buddy. They could be higher on the list in all actuality. So that's number 14, Bon Iver, something or another. Number 13, the Eagles. Ooh, this is an interesting one. I do like some of the Eagles songs, but I can see them as a very overrated band. I feel like this one might need to be higher up on the list. I'm interested to see where this goes. But the Eagles are firmly embedded into the fabric of rock and roll within the country. You don't hear over-the-top riffs or screaming vocals. While we respect the band for what it's accomplished, the overall sound isn't anything to write home about. The overall tone of the band is quite repetitive. I get it. I got no qualms with that one, man. Eagles coming in at number 13. What do you guys think? You guys think that's right? Journey. Oof. This one feels a little tough. Coming in at number 12, he has Journey. Journey definitely has some hits. You've probably been inebriated a time or two at a bar while singing Don't Stop Believing. While Steve Perry certainly has a great voice, the band itself was not adventurous in the slightest. Not every song needs to be constructed in a way which catered to the large groups of people belting it incessantly. You know what? The way he talks about these Journey songs is kind of exactly how I feel about Taylor Swift songs, and I don't mean that in a bad way. So if Taylor Swift is doing something that is working incredibly well, Journey did something similar that worked incredibly well, I don't think they should be overrated. I don't like Journey on this list. Let's move along. Number 11, Aerosmith. Get the fuck out of here with this. How in the world do you have Aerosmith on this list? Aerosmith is not and has never been a metal band. They were the most hard rock band by the 90s. They had transitioned to pop rock. You know, that's kind of a true story, man. Focusing instead on singing pop love songs with different guitar riffs, Aerosmith had a few groundbreaking albums in the 70s, a couple of decent ones in the 80s, but by the time Get a Grip came out, they had to started writing formulaic radio pop-friendly stuff. When Aerosmith started selling out concerts and selling millions of albums, they stuck with the formula. Can't fault them for that, man. Again, that's if the chemistry works and it mixes well, you gotta give Aerosmith more respect than that, man. I don't like Aerosmith on this list whatsoever. Number 10, Metallica. Get the hell out of here. This list is a joke. Like most metal bands, Metallica has their hits and misses, but to treat them like they're the best thing metal is, I'm not even gonna finish it because you're so wrong. Green Day, here we go. Green Day, definitely see them as an overrated band. Punk has been a vital part of the landscape of rock for at least four decades. Imagine a world without the Ramones or the Sex Pistols. It would be a lot less interesting, wouldn't it? Green Day, call it pop punk for lack of better terminology. The flagship band of this lame, watered-down take on punk is Green Day. For starters, there's Billy Joel's voice, the punk equivalent of nails on a chalkboard. and the fake accent. I don't know anything about that, but I can't tell if he's trying to mimic a British frontman or if he's just aiming for something totally annoying. I don't hate this pick. Not a giant fan of Green Day. Of course, they have some bangers. Most big popular bands have some good songs, except for Five Finger Death Punch. Even when Five Finger Death Punch covers songs, it sucks. Get out of here, man. Get out of here with this crap. I'm moving on. Coming in at number 8 is Bon Jovi. Here we go. I like this. Bon Jovi is one of those commercially popular bands that blew up for the wrong reasons. So I like this one on the list. I like Bon Jovi being on the list. At number 8, I feel like they should be a little bit higher. Bon Jovi songs all sound the same. There I said it, Richie Sambora is a great guitarist and their tracks are generally enjoyable. However, they found a formula that worked for them. I feel like this guy, he likes a band to be super diverse but then not popular at the same time. So I don't know. I don't know. Bon Jovi, I agree with them. They should definitely be on this. Coming at number 7, he's got Oasis. Apart from their messy breakup, the Gallagher brothers are just way too loud and vulgar. What's wrong with loud and vulgar? Come on, man. Yes, they can play instruments and they can write their own songs. At the end of the day, they are overrated and overhyped. They had a good tracks, but they're just they're so full of themselves. Okay, I get it. I like Oasis on the list. That makes sense. Genesis. That's funny. We just talked about Genesis with the ghost thing earlier. Now they're popping up on this list at number 6. Before you start throwing stuff at your screen, hear us out. Like the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Genesis early stuff was amazing. Phil Collins' drumming is equally impressive. He's okay as a drummer. We have plenty of favorite songs during the Peter Gabriel era. Oh, I forgot he was actually in Genesis. Even after his departure, they still managed to release some great tracks. You can't say all of this stuff and then call them... Okay, Genesis on the list. I don't... If you're going to put them in the top 25 most overrated bands, let's put them at the back end of the list. Here we go. Starting off the top 5, coming in hot, U2. Yes. Okay? I have some friends that love U2. I have some friends that love Bono. I get it. Like what you like. Love what you love. For me, they are totally 100% overrated. I like this pick on the list. U2 was creative and imaginative, which reflected on how amazing their concerts were. Bono, with all the hatred hurled at him, has some serious pipes. So what's the problem? They had some solid tunes, but they also had mediocre tracks, which received major airplays. Okay, I can agree with that. But that doesn't even put U2 in the same league as other great rock acts. There were those who thought they were the next Led Zeppelin. Hold off. Don't say that. While U2 isn't bad, they're not the greatest either. I can agree with that. I really like U2 at number 5 on this list. Makes a lot of sense. I have a feeling that a band I really love is going to be on this list, and I'm going to be pissed when it happens. But hey, that's what we're here to do. We're here to check out what this guy had to say. This is the people over at Arena, so if you have any complaints, please send them their way. Or if you agree with them, send it their way too, man. Give them some lops. Give them some love as well, man. But coming in at number 4, we got Kiss. I don't know how to feel about this. That's another one of those bands that I personally enjoy. First concert ever. Of a big band I ever seen in person with my brother. We went to go see him a long, long time ago. So I kind of have a soft spot for Kiss. I enjoy a lot of their songs. They do kind of seem like they've become a joke of themselves lately. They're on their last leg of their tour. What does this guy say? If you're surprised that Kiss is one of the most overrated bands of all time, then you haven't been paying close attention. Although, to be fair, the band never made it a secret or pretended they wanted anything other than making big bucks. Gene Simmons will literally do anything for money. However, Kiss embraced it fully. There are a few standouts in their catalog, maybe even some classics, but there's nothing awe-inspiring or even innovative about them. I don't know if I agree with the innovative part. I think they have been pretty innovative throughout the years. I just saw what's at number 3. But I'm going to give some props to Kiss. Like I said, they're one of those bands that if they're going to be on the list, put them at the back of the list. Not up front in the top 5, man. Come on. Number 3, The Doors. I love some of The Doors stuff, but you might be right. I feel like they get a lot more credit than maybe they deserve, man. I feel like The Doors makes sense in this top 5. One of the things I remember about middle and high school was that a few artsy, pretentious kids around me all discovered The Doors. You wouldn't have thought they have discovered some poetic genius or something. Jim Morrison was so obsessed with his own cleverness that most of the band's output comes across as silly and ridiculous. The worst thing about Morrison is that he doesn't sound like a rock star. Instead, his vocals put forth image of smurgy lounge singer. He would be doing a lounge act in Vegas if he were still alive. Come on, man. Let's not do the man like that. Hey, look at this. Another band we talked about on the show today. I'll just give my thoughts on The Doors. I think they put out some good hits, but overrated. I do think they get a lot more credit than they deserve. So that makes sense. I like that they're on this list. Coming in at number 2 is Motley Crue. The fact that Motley Crue had a few good songs, the rest were nothing but fillers. This is why I don't understand why some consider them the best. They fall under the bands that are okay category. I don't know. I don't think Motley Crue's overrated. Again, it just kind of makes me feel bad for the mess that they're going through because there's a lot of great songs in their catalog. I disagree with this one 100%. Let's get Motley Crue off this list. Number one, I knew this was going to happen. This guy stinks. Coming in at number one, most overrated band of all time, according to this Arena article, Guns N' Roses. Maybe their appeal lies in the unapologetic they were. Inside of Axl Rose's random rants, their concerts had the raw and primal energy. Even if they sang songs which aren't too great to begin with, Axl Rose had an impressive range and Appetite for Discretion was stellar. However, it went downhill from there in terms of technical skill. Slash isn't the best guitarist either. They're not an awful band, but to say they are changed the hard rock game is just a bit of a stretch. Welcome to the Jungle will always be a favorite, but let's be honest, they were all hyped up so their big bosses could pocket more money. They didn't single-handedly redefine rock. They were so far from that. Okay, 100% disagree with this. I feel like everything Guns N' Roses, bias, of course, bias alert, blah, blah, blah. Everything Guns N' Roses has done, aside from the Spaghetti Incident album, is good, enjoyable rock and roll music. They're diverse. They have a bunch of different sounds. If you listen from Appetite Destruction just to Chinese Democracy, there's such a different, I mean, of course, different musicians there, but the songwriting is so different. Just between Use Your Illusion 1 and Use Your Illusion 2, a lot of different stuff's going on, man. They can do ballads. They can do hard rock stuff. They can do punk stuff. Disagree 100%. Guns N' Roses doesn't even need to be in sniffing range of this list. All right. Well, there you go. That's their top 25 most overrated bands of all time, man. Thank you to those guys for putting that list together. I really enjoyed going through it. I disagreed with a lot of them, but I agreed with a lot of them, man. So maybe I'm 50-50 on what I think about that list, but it was a good list. I appreciate them doing it. Let me know what you guys think. Tell me some of those bands that didn't deserve to belong on there that you think, or tell me some bands that you think should be in the most overrated bands of all-time category. Yeah, it was a good time, man. I enjoyed doing this show. I'm glad I got to tell you guys how much I despise the band Five Finger Death Punch, not only from their lame name, but from the lame music that they put out. They're just an off-brand Killswitch Engage to me, man. I don't need a bad version of what's already good, man. Killswitch Engage is so awesome. I love everything they do, man. They are just pure, good, metal, heavy, just good, man. They're so good. And then on this side, you have Five Finger Death Punch, which is just a Play-Doh, watered-down mess of just fake. Get out of here. I don't understand it. I don't get it. But to each their own, we all love what we love. And that's the greatness about music, man. People enjoy what they enjoy. And I'm not going to dislike you for liking what you like, but I might be like, hey, man, what? Really? Really? That's what you like? And you could do the same thing to me. It can go back and forth, man. But yeah, that was a fun time, man. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Even though it's an audio version, we'll be back to regular come next week. I got an interview lined up with this awesome drummer who's a friend of mine. It's going to be a really good time. I love talking drums. I kind of feel like this show might be going that way. But I also want to talk about bands that I like and dislike, like Five Finger Death Punch, and keep it moving in that direction, man. But thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thrill Me Podcast Network. Please like and subscribe everywhere, man. YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. I believe Twitch is coming up soon. The guys are going to be doing some stuff on there. It's going to be really cool to do some watch-alongs and play some games and all that fun stuff's happening over there. There's a great Patreon channel that you guys can subscribe to help support us. We have a T Public store if you guys want to check that out and support us as well. Really good times, man. I love my brothers here, a part of the Throw Me Podcast Network. Cannot be more proud of the progress we made, and it only can go up from here, man. I believe there's some games coming up. I'm probably going to get my behind kicked in trivia again. We'll see what it goes. And then my brother, Review of Rob, is putting his Throw Me Podcast Championship cummerbund on the line. Let's see if he holds on to that bad boy. But tune in, guys. Thank you guys so much for support. Metal Groove Podcast. You guys are the best. And until next time, stay metal. That's the show for this week. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. Hey, be a friend, tell a friend. Please like and share this and join us over at the Throw Me Podcast Network on Facebook and YouTube. Be sure to check out Honor's podcast, The Review at Rob Show, The Mr. Wonderful Show, and Zach's Speakeasy as well. This incredible lineup is brought to you by the Throw Me Podcast Network. And hey, until next time, stay metal.